The scripture reading for today is Luke 19, 1 through 10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed the sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." This is the word of the Lord.
Lord of truth, I am falling in love with you, friend of sinners, Lord of truth, I have fallen in love.
So a few weeks back, Michelle and I tasked our kids with the seemingly impossible task of cleaning their playroom in the basement. At the time, it looked like a horde of rhinos had gone stampeding through a toy store. They were given a bag for trash and broken toys, and another bag for toys that they no longer wanted, which there was plenty of. Everything else needed to be put away in proper places, on shelves or in toy bins. What first started off as a cooperation toward a common goal rather quickly escalated to tactical verbal warfare. When the decibel level indicated imminent violence, Michelle intervened. She went downstairs to see what the progress was. While Caden stood in one corner yelling how Penny wasn't helping, and Penny sat crying because Caden was being mean to her American Girl doll. So Michelle gave some more specific directions. Okay, here's how we do it. Caden, put all the Legos in your Lego bag, and this arsenal of lightsabers can go on the shelf. Penny, the American Girl doll accessories, your Disney dress-up wardrobe can go in your toy bin, so on and so forth. So again, we gave the kids the chance to follow, and after 20 or 30 minutes of silence, went back down to check. Not one single thing had moved. Caden was now building a new Lego rebel fighter. Penny's now wearing her Snow White dress. It was here we realized that directions, no matter how detailed, were not going to result in a clean toy room. We had to meet them where they were. So for the next 2 hours, we proceeded to work side by side. When I say we, I mean Michelle. For the next 2 hours, she proceeded to work side by side with the kids, simultaneously showing them how to clean and a little bit of doing it for them. And it actually worked. It wasn't just that she did all the work for them, but as she started working with them, they got motivated by the progress they were seeing. They were happy that they could once again see the floor. We learned that giving directions didn't change their situation. We had to get involved and guide their cleanup. I think many times we can look at the mess in our own lives and see a very similar situation. Either we don't know how to fix it, or we're overwhelmed by what we think it's going to take to clean that mess. The process of restoration can seem so daunting that sometimes we can get discouraged and give up. But what if I told you that the first step and the most important step to restoration is as simple as welcoming a friend? Over the last couple weeks, we've been diving into Luke's account of the life and ministry of Jesus. We're in a sermon series called At the Table, and it specifically looks at several stories in Luke's gospel where Jesus welcomes friends that we might not expect. And in today's story of Zacchaeus, Jesus is welcomed in a very unlikely way, and it completely changes Zacchaeus' life. I want to walk us through this story. You'll want to have a Bible open. This particular passage is found in Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10, which is on page 1632 in the pew Bibles in front of you. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. So who is Zacchaeus? And why does Luke go to the trouble of naming him, telling us about him? What can we learn from this rather short story in the Bible? Let me take us there. First century Palestine. Jesus is walking into the city of Jericho on his way to Jerusalem, and he's not alone. He's just spent the better part of 3 years traveling all over the place, performing miracles, healing people from grave illnesses, raising people from the dead, calming storms, walking on water, feeding thousands of people from one kid's lunchbox. At this point, it seems pretty much everyone has heard of Jesus. And today, the streets of Jericho are absolutely bustling. It's packed with people standing shoulder to shoulder, clamoring to see who this man is that the whole world has been talking about. Now, as he's walking in, we meet another man named Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is probably someone we wouldn't want to meet in real life. That may sound harsh. Normally, I don't like to pass judgment on a figure in history just based on their job title. But in this case, I think Luke actually wants us to do that. And here's why I say that. First of all, Zacchaeus is a chief tax collector, Luke tells us. Now, tax collector may sound like kind of a nameless, faceless, bureaucratic position to us in the 21st century, but a tax collector in the Roman Empire was very different. The way that Rome would collect taxes from its provinces was to sell a territory to local legitimate businessmen who lived there to collect the taxes for Rome. Now, those tax collectors were not paid a salary by Rome. The way that they made their money is by keeping anything above what they had to send to Rome. This led to all kinds of corruption. There were all kinds of taxes that collectors could charge people for. They were notorious for exacting heavy taxes just to line their own pockets. They could even stop someone on the road, levy a tax right there on the spot. And if the person couldn't pay it, that tax collector could then lend the money to the person at exorbitant interest rates, making even more money off the people. Now, to take this a step further, Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector, which probably means he was the overseer of other tax collectors in his region. This is sort of like a multi-level marketing scam for organized crime. What's more is that the passage tells us he's wealthy. To hold that kind of a distinction in an already wealthy city like Jericho implies that he probably used all methods necessary to benefit no one but himself. Maybe extortion, maybe bribery, violence, or threats of. But there's something different about Zacchaeus on the day that we meet him. There's this bustle in the streets. There's a crowd gathering. And as he pokes his head out the door, he starts hearing what's going on. He hears a man's name, Jesus. And the people are saying that he's coming this way, up this very street. Now, Zacchaeus has heard that name. Who in the time hasn't? And he can't believe that this man, this living legend, is here in his hometown, in Jericho, just a block away, and he's coming. Well, Zacchaeus quickly rushes outside and tries to jockey for a good position where he'll finally get to get a glimpse of Jesus, maybe see if he's real or not. There's only one small issue. Zacchaeus is shorter than everybody else in the crowd. But this is his one chance to see Jesus. He knows that he's never going to see anything unless he can't get over the crowd somehow, so he thinks fast. On the next block, he spots a sycamore tree. It's got a solid trunk, a couple sturdy branches. If he could somehow climb that tree, then he'd be able to see over the crowd. It may seem silly or childish at first, but the noise in the crowd is growing. Jesus is getting closer, and this is his one chance. He doesn't want to miss it. He knows it's not the most dignified thing to do, to climb a tree, but what has he got to lose? He doesn't have a whole lot of friends in this town anyway. Now, I want us to pause for just a second and notice something about Zacchaeus' situation right here. At this point in this story, he's being prevented from seeing Jesus. And I think this can speak to our lives too. Think about it. What are the things that Luke is saying that's preventing Zacchaeus from seeing Jesus? The first thing preventing him is that he's short. There was nothing he could do about this. This is the way he was born. I've met people born with physical traits or malformities, or people who come down with diseases during their life, and they think, why would God let this happen to me? What did I do to deserve this? They assume that because of their personal circumstances, it must mean that either there is no God, or that there is a God, but he doesn't really care about them. And they let that assumption prevent them from coming to know God for who he really is. Well, the second thing standing in Zacchaeus' way was the crowd. And isn't it still common for us to let other people stand in our way and prevent us from experiencing God? I think we've all met people who've been turned off from the Christian faith because of the way that they see Christians behaving. I'm sure we can all remember these words from friends that sound something like this, when people say, oh, Christians are such hypocrites, and that's why I never go to church. I don't want to be associated with people like that. Or the very simple line, I believe in God, I just don't like organized religion. I think that this is a huge mistake to say. Don't let the perceived or the actual hypocrisy or dishonesty or any other flaw in ordinary people be something that prevents you from experiencing Jesus for yourself. Christians are no more perfect, no less likely to sin than anyone else in the world. Christianity is a personal relationship with God. It's not a religion. Get to know Jesus for yourself. Now, here's why I can confidently say that Christianity is a relationship and not a religion. Let's pick up the story with Zacchaeus. So he spotted a good lookout point, the sycamore tree up ahead at the side of the road. He makes a fast break for the tree. When he reaches it, he grabs hold, pulls himself up onto the lowest branch to get a clear glimpse. Sure enough, he sees Jesus. There he is. He's real. He's actually real, and he's coming. In a few moments, he's going to pass right under him. Now, I start to kind of play this in my mind, and I think maybe time is kind of slowing down for Zacchaeus, and he's starting to notice some details. Maybe Jesus is smiling, walking slowly as he's talking with a swarm of people around him. Some people are screaming his name, holding out their hands for him to touch. There's about a dozen men who seem to be with Jesus, trying to contain the crowds while keeping an eye on the Roman soldiers, some of whom themselves have gathered around Jesus too. And right as he's thinking these things, just as Jesus reaches where he is, suddenly he stops walking. He's just standing, and he's looking right at Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus freezes. What does he do now? Yeah, he wanted to see Jesus, but now he's staring face to face with him. There's no one else in the tree. What else could he be looking at? Then Jesus extends his hand toward the branch where Zacchaeus is. He sees me, Zacchaeus thinks. Then he hears Jesus call out to him. Hey, Zacchaeus, come on down. I want to come to your house today. Can you imagine? Zacchaeus has lived most of his adult life being disliked and avoided. And now, here's this superstar, surrounded by his fans and his entourage. And he singled him out, calling him by his first name, and asking if he could come over to spend time together. Well, Zacchaeus didn't need to give it a second thought. He scurries down the trunk, runs over to Jesus, shakes his hand. Luke says he welcomed him gladly. Maybe he says something like, absolutely, yeah, my place is right this way. Come on, I'll show you. I'm honored to have you. Please come. Now notice what's going on here. Zacchaeus was just trying to see Jesus. And what Jesus is saying to him, in effect, is this. Zacchaeus, I see you. The critical thing we need to understand about Jesus is that he meets us where we are. Notice all the things that brought Zacchaeus and Jesus together that day. Zacchaeus wasn't summoned to a king's royal palace. There wasn't a secret security detail that came ahead and patted Zacchaeus down and made sure his house was safe. Recently, I met a woman named Lily. Lily was the principal at PS 130, which is an elementary school in Lower Manhattan. It's right around the corner from World Trade Center. And in 2001, after the 9/11 attacks, it was closed and evacuated for weeks. On the day that they were opening the school back up, President Bush came to the school to encourage the children, encourage the teachers, and maybe snap a few photos. And Lily told me that the amount of security necessary that had to come ahead of time, check out the whole building, the wiring, everything, every person in the building, was like nothing she'd ever seen. I'm really happy to tell you today that it is not that way with Jesus. Some of us sometimes think, you know, Jesus, I don't want to see him in the shape I'm in. Sometimes we kind of think back over what our life has been like or just what our day has been like, and that guilt kind of weighs heavy on us. We say to ourselves, well, let me wait for a better time. I can't go to God like this. He doesn't want to see me like this. Zacchaeus' story shows us that nothing could be further from the truth. Jesus knew Zacchaeus' name. He knew he was a chief tax collector. He knew he was a sinner. Jesus knew Zacchaeus had made a career and a lifestyle of ripping people off. Jesus knew Zacchaeus was a nobody in a tree all by himself. And that is why he wanted to see Zacchaeus. Not because Zacchaeus was a faithful follower of Jesus, but because Jesus wanted him to be one. As he says in verse 10, the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Jesus had a specific plan for Zacchaeus. I'm sure that the encounter by the sycamore tree was no accident, was no coincidence. Jesus is still actively seeking us. Just as he did with Zacchaeus, he's looking for us. He's calling out to those who don't know him yet and those who do know him but maybe avoiding him. Jesus didn't wait for Zacchaeus to give his possessions away and repent and then come to his house. He just went to his house. He did that first. Jesus meets us where we are. And then what? Now that we've invited him in, what comes next? Well, let's get back to the story and see what a friendship with Jesus has the power to do in someone's life. So he's come down from the tree, and they've started on the way back to his house. And on the way, Zacchaeus is thinking that his popularity is definitely bumping up a couple notches after today. There were all these thousands of people that were clamoring around to see Jesus, and Jesus picked him. But as they start walking toward his house, the crowd in the streets behind him starts murmuring, calling out, hey, Jesus, you better keep an eye on your wallet at that guy's house. Maybe here's another person warn. Man, that guy will steal the dirt off your sandals. As Zacchaeus passes one of the city's religious leaders, he sees the man roll his eye at Jesus and say to someone, some man of God he is. Look at him, going to buddy up with criminals. Well, Zacchaeus had heard the murmurings in the crowd, and he starts to feel nervous. He invites Jesus and a few others inside, and he realizes there's no hiding who he really is. Clearly, Jesus already knows by now. The truth is, the people outside his house were right. He was a sinner. He was a criminal. He'd made a reputation as a hated man. Most of the religious folks he knew avoided him at all cost, but Jesus was different. Clearly, he was a deeply faithful, spiritual, religious guy, but he wasn't shunning Zacchaeus like the others. Here was a man who was from God himself, Jesus, right there in his house. Jesus being friends with him. Luke doesn't tell us exactly what it was about Jesus that leads Zacchaeus to a radical life change. Perhaps Zacchaeus just saw how Jesus loved people so selflessly. Maybe he saw how loyal Jesus was to him, even though there were people standing right outside making fun of them both. Maybe Zacchaeus realized that what he wanted all along was just to be like Jesus. Maybe he wanted to be able to make friends with people instead of just making enemies. There's just not much detail in Luke's account, So I've always imagined this scene sort of playing out like this. And again, this is just the way I imagine the story. But maybe Zacchaeus kind of goes over to his desk in the corner and gets out his ledger. Not the falsified ledger that he sends to Rome, the one that he keeps for himself. The one that he keeps the records of who are easy targets to go after for money. Maybe he opens it and starts making some careful notes to his bank manager. Starts writing some notes to himself. Then he approaches Jesus and says, and again I'm paraphrasing here, "I've been wrong in how I run my business. All this stuff around me has just caused me grief, has caused my community grief. So I'm going to start by getting rid of half of it. And starting right now, things are going to be different in my business. I'm paying back quadruple what I stole from these people. I'll go above and beyond just to make it right." Well, this makes Jesus smile. And he says, "Today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham." And here's effectively what Jesus was saying to him. Think back to who Abraham was, what he's known for. Abraham is celebrated as the father of the nation of Israel. But first, he had to leave everything. He had to leave his land, his family, his people, his whole life. And that took tremendous faith. The Apostle Paul says that Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness. It was his faith in God, not his heritage, not his good deeds, but his faith in God that earned him such a high place of honor for the Israelites. And what Jesus is saying to Zacchaeus is that he too has just shown this kind of faith, to turn away from his lifestyle. But lest Zacchaeus starts to get self-righteous because of this, Jesus makes it clear how this all happened. In the next breath, he says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." So what he's saying is, "Zacchaeus, you thought you climbed a tree looking for me, but it was me who was looking for you." This is the last point that I want us to see from the story of Zacchaeus. While Jesus meets us where we are, he won't just let us stay there. Jesus was a great teacher, yes. Jesus worked inexplicable miracles, yes. Jesus, we can say, had more impact on our entire planet than anyone else in the course of global history, absolutely. But all of those great things were just byproducts of his true mission. His true mission was to be the light of the world, to show all people that God loves us, wants the best for us, and wants us to be with him forever. Maybe the most famous Bible verse of all time says just what I'm saying today. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life." John 3:16. Jesus has come to change our lives and to change our world. He didn't just stay in heaven and then challenge us to try to work our way up to him. He came here and he asks to come into our lives every day and make the change in our lives that we so desperately need. That change starts by just climbing down from our tree, letting him come into our mess, into our pain, into our disbelief. Jesus meets us where we are, but he won't just let us stay there. There's a lot of Christians who still read the Bible and say, "Okay, according to the Bible, I guess I need to act this way. I need to speak this way." And other Christians need to act this way and speak this way. We need to avoid these things. And then kind of what they do becomes the priority. How they act defines their faith. But what Jesus says to Zacchaeus is, "You just need to invite me in. That's all. Invite me in and let me get to work on the rest." See how liberating this is for us? We don't have to keep doing everything in our power to try to get Jesus' attention. He already sees us because he's been looking for us all along. To whatever extent we think we're seeking him, it's him who's seeking us. "There you are," he's saying to us. "There you are." When we let ourselves just be happy that Jesus seeks us where we are, that's what makes us look inside and want to get rid of the other things in our life that we know could crowd him out. And this doesn't work the other way around. We can't just say, "Okay, I'm going to stop being a sinner so that I'll have a better relationship with God." We can try as hard as we can all our lives to be perfect, and we'll never be any closer than we are right now. Or we can give up control, invite Jesus into our lives, admit that we're broken people in a broken world, but we still want him to be the guest of honor in our lives. So what does this look like for us? Regular life. Today's a beautiful Sunday morning. Tomorrow's a Monday morning, and who knows what it's going to bring. So having Jesus at the guest of honor, what does this look like for us? Well, for those of us who know Christ already, it could be as simple as just starting your day by talking to him. You want to give Jesus the best seat in your house? You want to make him the guest of honor in your life? Make him the first person you talk to in the morning. Before you check your email, before you go on social media, just talk to him. It can be quick. Lord, I'm anxious about this. I've got this coming up today, and I don't know how I'm going to handle this. I'm worried about this coming up this week. Lord, I'm excited about what's going to go on. I'm looking forward to this. Would you come and just be with me every step of the way? I want you with me through it all. Please come. And maybe some of us that don't know Christ, maybe we're just here today just to look, just to see what this Jesus thing is like. Like Zacchaeus wants to climb a tree and just see, is this real? Could it be? Well, if that's you, he wants to be invited into your home. He wants to be invited into your life. He wants to meet you where you are, and he promises that he's not just going to leave you there. Will you start by just inviting Jesus in? Let him come in. Don't worry about all the things that are going to happen after that. You don't need to worry about that right now. It just starts with the first step. Let Jesus in. As we close, I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up as we get ready for our last hymn. If you'll bow your heads with me, I'll close this in prayer in a moment, but I just want to give you the chance to kind of respond. Maybe you want to close your eyes or just bow your head or not. That's okay. But I'd like to just give you a question to think about as we get ready to go today. And that's this. What would you do if the Lord was coming to your house today? Just imagine that. Somehow you walk out the door, you walk out of church, and the Lord says, I'm coming over tonight. What's your response? Do you got to go home and clean like crazy? Do you have to hide the imperfections? Do you have to tell everyone in your house that they better be on their best behavior tonight? Would you tell them that today's just not a good day, maybe next week? Or would you welcome him gladly, like Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector? How would you respond? What would you do if the Lord was coming to your house tonight? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we first thank you that you come to us. You don't require us to hold every set of rules and meet all these expectations, God, but that you first offer yourself to us. And that it's such a simple and joyful step of accepting you. And God, we need to do that every day, no matter how long we've known you, no matter how close we think we are. God, we want to start every day by welcoming you. And Lord, for all the steps that may be required after that, for all the things that we're hoping our faith in you can lift us from, God, would you be working on that in us? But may we start by just taking the first step of accepting your invitation. Pray this in Jesus' name for his glory and for his sake. Amen.